In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. But since the rivalry is not going on right now, we're talking about the baseball playoffs, and the Yankees are still in it. This is episode 96. We are on to the ALCS and the NLCS. And so, but before we get there, John, and congrats on the Yankees moving forward.
Thank you, Brian.
There's a part of me. I mean, you know where I stand, but I kind of wanted Francona to beat them. And
I feel like Francona is almost too jolly of a manager now. You know, he's like almost too much like a teddy bear figure. Oh, I'm riding around in my moped around town, and oh, everybody, you know, this is the greatest game in the world.
Well,
you should be happy to be here.
I feel like you think that's part of the reason why they lost.
I feel like they got a little soft. I think they, you know, the decision to go with Savali in the final game
instead of Shane Bieber,
and soft.
I think it's probably a fair point, and they obviously aren't that aggressive about, you know, they must not have the right protocol for replay. You know, like, it's like the NFL, like, there's someone who's spotting that all the time.
They got to fire their replay guy.
Well, then that person's supposed to tell the manager whether to challenge or not. And that, I mean, if you saw that replay of that tag.
We're just talking about game five. Like, if we go back in the games, too, there was awful. I mean, you could see some of the plays where the guy came off the first base.
Right.
Like, in real time, I literally screamed, he's off the base. And that's in real time. And you're blowing that play. Like, those are big time moments in playoff games. You can't waste them.
And I'm sure that people listening know the dynamic, that there is somebody who their job is to watch that and tell Francona whether to challenge or not. That's the way it works.
And it's weird because I feel like there's like this like dark shadow that you don't really know what they're seeing. Like, are they seeing the same video that we're seeing on TV?
Do they have to slow-mo it themselves? Exactly.
Yeah. Or is there just like three guys in a room watching four different monitors or something? Or if you're, you know, if it's during the regular season, are you watching the home feed and the away feed, that kind of stuff? And then you always hear, oh, we go back to New York where they have more angles of the play. And then you sit there and you're like, why is it taking so long for these people to figure this out if they have all these angles? But going back to the Indians, you're challenging a play where clearly the guy is safe, right? And then you're challenging a play where you don't challenge a play where Rizzo's diving back to the base where it's like, oh my God, he's safe again. Like, you got to get it right.
There's too much at stake. And I think that the demeanor of Francona, and I like Francona, is an interesting point. I'm not sure I wholly agree, but I think it's a really good point. The thing I wanted to bring up is when
you think he got soft because you got run out of town by Boston?
No, I think he's had some health scares, and I think he's just grateful to still be in it. And I think what you realize
that's
is
a good point. That's true.
It's the same with like TV. It's, you know, I remember when I switched, rotated off a show on purpose because it was too early in the morning, and one of the anchors at CNBC said to me, you're so stupid. Don't give up. If you ever have your own show, don't ever give that up. And even though I don't regret the decision, I understood what he said. Like, he's one of 30 managers in Major League Baseball.
Right.
He realizes now at his age and what he's been through, how much of a privilege that is. And so I think that there's some of that in his demeanor.
He switched gears real quick about, you know, we have something real special here. Let's build on it, too. Hopefully, you know, I'll be back next year. You know?
Right. He wants to stay in the business.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a good manager. I mean, obviously, he brought you guys World Series and first ever in like 140 million years.
Yeah, he is good. But the thing I wanted to bring up was more of a macro point about these playoffs. When you add the wild card team, make the first round 2 out of 3, make the second round 3 out of 5, it has fundamentally changed things. And I don't know that I'm the first person to point this out, but I do want to bring it up, is that when you have the Cardinals, the Braves, and the Dodgers bounced, and I'm not saying all three would have won a 7-game series, but I'm sure at least one of them would have. And I think maybe even the Dodgers are Exhibit A. They have the most wins in franchise history, and they're bounced in a 3 out of 5 series. And I think a better team wins more often in a 7-game series than in a 3 out of 5 series. And I do think that I'm not sure that I like the setup. And I'm not sure. I don't want more games. I don't want baseball at Thanksgiving.
Right.
My point
is
that
this year's an anomaly because of the COVID too got pushed back. The strike.
Well, then whatever the calendar is, part of me thinks that second round needs to be 7. And I don't think 3 out of 5 is necessarily.
Well, then
fair.
You're going to start talking about, well, we're going to have to shorten the season. You know,
right.
Go back
I know.
To
that's what I'm saying. Yes.
It's a
I know.
Whole debate. But yeah, it's better than what it was because we saw what it was the year before, the Yankees and Red Sox
the
facing
one and done
off.
Is no
it's
good.
It's stupid. It's yeah. That's just dumb. I don't know if there's a, if you're going to ever get anyone to agree on it. And it's, you know, when you, like you said, when you see the teams like the Dodgers get bounced, you know, everyone gets all upset because that's your gate, right? That's your gate. You're going to want them in the Yankees or them in the Red Sox or whoever, the big teams in the end. But you got to remember, the Atlanta Braves, no one expected them to win last year. No one expects the Phillies or the Padres to win this year. This is what makes baseball great. This is what makes baseball great.
Right. I'm torn on it. I just, you know, I feel like I don't want the Dodgers to win. I don't even like the Cardinals, and I really don't care much for the Braves, but it just struck me with those three division winners going out the way they did that what would this series have been if it were 4 out of 7? And I don't have an answer. I think that the Cardinals, I think, are flawed. I think the Braves are very good, and I think the Dodgers are obviously great. I think
there should be more criticism of Dave Roberts, to be honest with you. I mean, this guy goes out, and what have the Dodgers done when you think about it? They've won a bunch of division titles,
yeah,
right?
One World Series
in a shortened season, so we're not even going to count that.
Like a lot of people don't.
Right. And then he goes out, and it's like he's almost worse than what the Blue Jays did with the whole, that was the trailer, this is the feature film. And he basically guaranteed a World Series.
Yeah.
Like every year. And it's like, you know, you think people are going to forget that, right? But they don't. Not so much like in politics where people forget all these pledges, right? In sports, people don't forget that.
They don't. And what I think it's going to happen, I'm very interested in attendance numbers next year for the Dodgers. And I'm not saying it's going to drop off precipitously. But what I would say is if you win that many games in the regular season and bow out the way they did, people aren't going to take stock in them until it matters, right? And
right.
So the regular season, there's going to be much less interest in the Dodgers' regular season until they're at a point where they're on the cusp of winning it.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean,
yeah,
you're
going to have the late fans coming.
There's just not going to be as much interest because they're going to be like, what's the point? I'm going to get all into this, and then they're going to bow out the first chance they get. They had that, and I think your point of Dave Roberts, I hadn't really considered it, but in some ways— next year, if they don't win it, he's gone.
Oh, I would definitely. Yeah. I would say no doubt. I think, you know, going back to the series ahead of us with the Yankees and the Astros, I mean, that's the one side of the coin that everyone kind of saw before the season, right? That's what all the pundits were saying. The other side of the coin, no one had that.
Right.
Nobody had that. But I mean, look at what we got ahead of us. I feel like the Yankees have got a legit shot, right? They're the underdog, no doubt. They're the underdog because the Astros are the perennial favorites, and they've been there year after year after year after year. But the Astros have also only played 3 games in the last 2 weeks, right? And in those 3 games, what have they really done outside Yordan Alvarez? Not much at all. Their pitching has been good. Granted, let's say not maybe played 4 games. They played an 18-inning game. But at the same time, the Yankees have got the momentum going. Judge seems like he's getting a little bit better. The hitting is coming around. The pitching has been excellent. The bullpen has been excellent. And Giancarlo's starting to hit. So hopefully that momentum we build off, and you're going to see the best right-handed power hitter and best left-handed power hitter going at it.
So when you think about this, and with the Yankees, and it's going to sound so overly simplistic and almost dumb, but can they win if Judge and Stanton don't hit?
No.
Meaning that you don't think it's possible.
No.
You don't think there's other people that
one
can
one of them
pick up
has to stand up. And I've been harping on this all year about Stanton. He is your kingpin. Now, is Stanton going to play the outfield and get Carpenter in the mix? I don't know if they're going to be that bold. I think it's going to be more on an IKF at shortstop and Cabrera goes to the outfield now that Chicks is hurt. I mean, as much as you don't think Aaron Hicks was going to be a factor at all, I think he was going to factor into the postseason because of his defense, right? And he's a switch hitter. You just can never count those guys out. But he's gone, right? So now they have a decision to make. Is Giancarlo going to play in the outfield? If he plays
dangerous.
In the outfield, that changes everything. But that also kills your bat off the bench later in the game with Carpenter. But at the same time, I feel like Carpenter needs to be in the lineup to get him
going.
Well,
he still needs at-bats.
Exactly.
I mean, he's still getting into the flow.
Exactly. So they got some decisions to make. I don't even know, as I speak now, if the actual ALCS roster is out for the Yankees.
I just don't know who to root for.
I know who I'm rooting for.
I know you are. I know, but for me—
why would you root for the Astros,
dude? I think that I don't know if I root for anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think the Astros are—
seriously, like,
they are
this?
They're the most hated.
He's
they're the most hated team in baseball. But I don't really like the
everybody
Yankees.
Wants the Astros. Well, everybody, the 300,000 fans they have in the world want the Astros to win, so they can say, Well, we did, you know, we got the World Series the right way, right?
They have to win because that's the only way to legitimize this run.
They're
going to
be the Bills, man, if they don't win. They go there every year and they choke, except if they cheated. The Bills didn't cheat, but.
Well, the Bills never have won under any circumstances.
Right.
So that you have that. So there is a need for the Astros to win. And I would say that I dislike the Astros more than I dislike the Yankees, but I just don't love the Yankees. They're not a very fun team. I mean, the baby thing.
That was awesome.
But that was legitimately hysterical and funny.
Hats off to Glaber for that, man.
And also hats off to Naylor for not like wanting to do the macho thing and like drop the gloves or something. You know what I mean?
But at that point, what are you going to do? You're going to rush the field as a celebrating and you guys just lost? That would be a little bit different if it was the second game of the series.
True. But
Josh Naylor is a clown, dude. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say it to him because he headbutts people with helmets on. But look at him. He is not the best example. If you see some of the stuff he's done during the season, screaming a bunch of F-bombs flying off the field in stadiums that have, like, nobody in them and there's just kids sitting around, he's a weird dude.
And the second he did it, you knew it was going to come back and bite him in the ass.
And that's the problem. And that's the problem. That you just nailed it right on the head. And Francona's probably sitting there like,
why did you do this?
Oh, my God, dude.
You just lost us the series.
Literally, what did you do? You just gave them something to feed off.
I love seeing the 14-year-old boys in the stands do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Glaber for doing it at the end of the game was
It was awesome. The only thing better is if Naylor was the guy getting forced at second. But that would have been even better.
Naylor handled it well afterward. He just sort of said, you know, listen, it is what it is, and that's why we play the games, and it's fun or whatever. But I just love the kids, the picture of the kids. And by the way, what kid gets those seats is beyond me. Get these like 3 14-year-old kids right in his line of sight doing the baby thing, and I'm like, that is just phenomenal.
I'll tell you something. I almost want to go to the first game at Yankee Stadium.
Are you going to go? Are you going to pay?
I'm going to – maybe if it works out with schedule, I'll try to, but – man, Jose Altuve is going to have a rough run, man. He is going to have a rough run. He's the last guy standing, I believe, from that trash can 17.
But I think he's been in these situations a couple of times.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be way different now, though.
You think so?
Way different. Even
this many years removed?
Yes. They are going to feast off him because he's the only meat left on the bone.
I know, but he's always found a way to kind of hit in the clutch. I'm interested to see it, but would you pay the money? Would you pay $150, $200 a ticket?
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Listen to Mr. I Have a Job Now so I can spend some money. I love it. Listen,
here's the problem with me. If I can't just go by myself. It just doesn't work that way.
You got to take Jackson.
And then I can't just take him. I got to take the other one. So first of all, their schedules have to work out. And then if I take the three of them, then the wife's going to want to go. Not that that's a bad thing.
You think Colleen
will absolutely.
Go?
120%.
And all of a sudden, it's a vacation.
Next thing you know, we could have went
to
on
the
vacation.
Bahamas.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Schackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's talk quickly here before we go.
Wait. No, real quick. Aaron Civale, right? Started in game five.
From Windsor, South Windsor.
He went to Loomis.
Yeah, he went to Loomis Chafee.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, Loomis Chafee's had a couple guys in the last couple of years that may end up
in
the
big first of all, if you live in Connecticut, right, there's a ton of prep schools in Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
And you don't hear a lot about the kids that go to these prep schools. And until you start like reading about them and you have kids in high school that know about these kids, Loomis and Avon Old Farms
produce a lot.
Oh, my God. And they got a kid that just is recruited to go to Alabama is looking at him. The kid just went to Georgia. He's going to Georgia. Now, they might not start, but these guys are just lighting it up.
Oh, so he's talking about the Loomis Chafee. It's a boarding school here in Connecticut. Their football team right now, which doesn't have a great history of being good, their quarterback's going to South Carolina. They have Alabama committed. He's going to Alabama.
Okay. Yep.
They have a couple going to Michigan. And I mean, the difference between, if people don't understand prep school football, they have legitimately 6 to 8 bona fide full scholarship Power 5 conference kids. Now, but the 20th kid on the roster
can't find his way out of a closet.
No. So it's not like you go to Texas or whatever and there are these 100-person high school teams. These schools, these Avon Old Farms and these Loomis, they don't have any of the depth, but their top-end talent is insanely good.
It's amazing. I've noticed that because I've done a lot of videos and still photography at these private schools, and you notice it. There's some schools that it's like, wow. And then you go to other schools, you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
Like, my 12-year-old team could beat you guys.
Totally. And there's like, you know, like a school like Phillips Academy at Andover. Phillips Andover. It's a school of 1,000-plus kids, an incredible school. They had 35 kids in their football team. I mean, that's brutal. It's just absolutely brutal. The quick story I want to tell on that, since you brought it up, I grew up in Swampscott, Massachusetts, and I didn't know Loomis from from the Looney Tunes. I had no idea what Loomis Chafee was as a kid. And we had a kid in my town, Matt Murray. You can look him up.
Good old Matt Murray.
Matt Murray was dominant. He was the Little League legend in Swampscott. And Swampscott won state titles. And he, I didn't know this. Yeah, I knew he went to prep school. He went to Loomis Chafee and then got drafted in the second round by the Braves and signed before he finished school, because I think if he did 2 years, so he could easily get his equivalent. So he couldn't play his final high school baseball season
because he had already
signed a pro contract.
Wow.
And that was in the late 80s. That would have been 89.
Yeah.
And so there is a long history. And these schools, when they decide to be good at something, they can be good at it easy because they can pluck from anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And it is.
My friend's got his kids are going to Loomis. He had one already went through. He's at Tufts now playing baseball. Another one's going to be playing baseball and soccer there this year. So I'll be right in the mix of knowing what's going on.
Yeah. You should come over and watch the game. My wife works there for full disclosure. Let's go to the picks. And ALCS and NLCS. We'll start with your boys. I mean, I know you're picking the Yankees. Just give me a little context of the narrative.
So I'm going to go against the grain and not say seven games. I'm going to say the Yankees are going to win it in six. I just think the Yankees have got their, I'm not going to say the total mojo back, but I think they got enough back that they can build on it going into this. And I think the layoff for the Astros is going to hurt them. You know, and I think the Yankees have something to prove. They really do. They obviously have, that's their Goliath. They got to slay them. They have not had the chance. They have not done it. So they got to go through there. It's like what the Red Sox used to be, you know. It wasn't so much going through them. It was their rivalry. But now they know that that's who they got to beat. I think they're going to rise to the occasion.
So I have a qualifier in the sense that I will just say that if the Yankees don't win in Houston to start the series, one of the two, they will not win the series.
No, I agree.
And I'm going to pick, just to do it, I'm going to pick Houston, and I'm going to pick it in six. And I think what's going to happen is that Houston's going to take the first two, and then they're
going to— Maybe Yankees squeak out one.
I think they win. Yankees do some damage at home, and maybe they win that, you know, maybe they make it 2-2, and then the Astros take, you know, game five and game six. I don't know, but I just, and I don't really, if the Yankees win, I won't be upset. I want to see the Astros lose in the World Series. And to me, if the Yankees make it, great. I want really like doomsday scenario. I want the Yankees to lose and I want Judge to leave. I mean, that's really it's really what I want. So I know you're
going to
like,
and
both
and
you
GM.
And Matt, like, you would get angry at this stuff. So I'm not going to take it further, and the Judge stuff is for another day. But I do think that the Astros are going to win. So there we have that.
They definitely got a tough mountain ahead of them, man. No doubt.
And then I want to go to the NLCS, because this is fascinating for me. I just want to point out, you know, and I was a fan of Fernando Tatis Jr. until he started. I don't know anything about him, but between the accident and the injury, the fact that if they win without him, I don't think there's a bigger indictment of him.
Yeah.
And they still are on the hook, and I don't think he's tradable. But, I mean, that guy – and you know what? He's such a young kid. He's, what, 22, 23, whatever. The kid needs to grow up.
Yeah.
And if this is what makes him grow up, fine. But he's all of a sudden become somebody that I just – I don't know him, and I'm not saying it's – I just don't – I don't like what he's done with his life. And even though if I were that age with that kind of money, I'd probably screw up too. And so I'm sort of rooting – for the Padres, but at the same time, I was talking to Matt Sorois, our producer, this on my show on WTSC News Talk 1080 during the week, Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 9 a.m. Bryce Harper's a guy you love to hate, but for some reason, I like him.
I love Bryce Harper.
Okay, why is it that I feel that way?
I think it's just because he's, first of all, you never hear anything bad about Bryce, right? You don't ever hear anything bad about him. And he always comes
so
to play.
So cocky, though. I
mean, but he backs it up, dude. That's all he's ever done is play good. He had like one kind of off year, but all that guy's done is perform his whole career. And you feel like he's been around forever. I mean, he's, what, this is like his ninth year in the league? I mean, right. And he just turned 30. He is a Hall of Fame baseball player. Bryce Harper will be in the Hall of Fame. He was groomed to play baseball. Like, you kind
of
like...
Oh, no, he's sort of like the Tiger Woods of that whole thing. I mean, there's no doubt.
And he's such a clean dude. Like, you can't find anything. There's no grease on the guy.
Well, the funny thing about him, did you see the re-air of... was it Blake Snell that hit him on the hand? Did you see the re-air of it and how he's so pissed? He's so angry.
Yeah, but not at Blake. He's angry he's not going to be able to play.
And he, you know, obviously he felt like the guy, he's like, just throw me a strike. But he did not blame Snell. Whereas, like, I would say that 99 out of 100 baseball players turn that into something brawl worthy or like something tense. And he even said, I got you. I got you. And yeah. I thought
that... He was
that,
just so upset in the moment.
And I was impressed by his handling of that. And I'm not a huge Blake Snell fan. And so I find myself wanting to hate him, but not hating him. So the Phillies are a good story. I don't like Philly as a sports town. I've never been a fan. But I think both teams are arguably more compelling than the AL matchup in some ways.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just goes back to the fact that they're not supposed to be there, right? Nobody had them. And I think it makes for a great story. And again, you're building around one of the biggest superstars in baseball and Bryce Harper on the Phillies. And then you got another one on the other side with Manny Machado, who, you know, everyone doesn't really realize what a great player Manny Machado is. And hopefully they get to see that. And on the other hand, they have the so-called replacement for Tatis, Soto, which honestly, I'm just glad he's not on the Yankees. I get a little bit tired of his shtick. I feel like he gets up to the plate and it's almost like, if it's not what I think it is, then everybody else is wrong. And he goes through his motions and he goes through his thing. And if you saw in game one, he fouled a ball off that was fair and everybody in the stadium knew it, but you can't review the play. And he's sitting there like selling it. Like, he's just... I don't know.
He annoys you. Some people just
annoy
people.
He annoys me. At the time, I was like, oh, it'd be great to come to the Yankees. I'm glad he never did. I'm glad he didn't. But, you know, going back to what you said about Tatis, I said the same thing to my kids. I'm like, honestly, I kind of hope the Padres win without him just to stick it to him. And be like, you know, we didn't need you to begin with, and you screwed up a really good thing, and we could have been even better. You know, but then going forward, who knows? If they got this together and then he comes back, they could be even better going forward, and none of us will ever be remembering it.
So who are you picking?
I'm going to say that's when goes seven. I'm going to go with the Phillies just because I want Bobby Dickerson to go to the World Series.
That's right. He's with – now, what's his role there?
He's the infield coach. If you looked at Harper last night, he was next to him the whole game, sitting there next to him.
So now he was – and he okay, the, so just a fence. Quick story on Bobby Dickerson. He was on Giardi's staff but didn't get let go. Is that it?
So he was on – he left and went – yeah, he was on Girardi's staff and didn't let go.
Right, but he used to be in San Diego.
He was in San Diego. He worked with Buck in Baltimore for like 9 years, 8 years, wherever long Buck was there.
And why didn't he go to the Mets?
Because he had already taken this job with Philly. Yeah.
So he was in Philly wondering when Girardi left if he's out of a job.
Yeah.
And now he's three wins away from the World Series.
Yep, yep.
What a story.
Yeah.
He better talk to us in the winter.
That's baseball, Susan.
I mean, he's lived life, and that's incredible. Plus, he loves Machado. He came on our show. Yeah. He was talking about his adulation.
So I think that's an interesting angle they got too, because you know Manny knows. I mean, Bobby knows these players too, and he was with all of them in San Diego for like three seasons. So you know, I think they got a little bit of an edge. He might know some tendencies. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully, we can get to talk to him. He's a tough nut to crack sometimes.
Yeah, but we got him for a whole hour during the pandemic, so maybe we can do it again this offseason. And if he's got a ring on his finger,
he'd be a little bit happier.
I'm sure he'd be a little bit easier to book.
Yeah.
I hope he signed a 1-year contract, too. All right, listen, this has been episode 96. Please share with your friends. We love doing it. We love getting feedback from you as well. And we have our 100th episode coming up, and we are going to do something. We're fleshing out the details of what to do. And it should involve some baseball tickets for next season and you telling your friends to follow us on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. And we'll have that announcement. No, I'm good. I'm good. Have a good one. This has been Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. This is episode 96. For John and Brian, we'll see you next time.